The Gemara on Kuf Chav Zayin on the base learns out from the Psukim that there's a difference between Maaseh Rishon Shehikdimo B'Shibolim as opposed to Hikdimo B'Kri. If Hikdimo B'Kri, then it's still Tevel HaTovel the Truma Gdoila, and you have to be Mafrish the Truma Gdoila, even after taking out the Maaseh and HaMaaseh. But if Hikdimo B'Shibolim, then the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk that it's not necessary to be Mafrish the Truma Gdoila. So the Gemara says, how do you know how to darshan the psukim? Hay idgen v'hay lo idgen. So the lashon idgen sounds like he did the miruach. The din is that in order to be chayv in trumas ha'maisvus, in order to have an iser tevel, misa v'dei shemayim, you have to have miruach and riyas b'nei abayis. So Tosfos has two opinions, whether you take the Gemara literally, hay idgen, it just means miruach, even though after miruach that's not enough to be mechayv yet in trumas ha'maisvus. Well, it's lavdavke, it means miruach and riyas b'nei abayis. So according to the first opinion, that idgin is to be taken literally, so taka, why? It's not yet chayv and trumas ha'maaseh, it's not yet tevel gomer. Why do you say that miruach is enough to change the din over here, that you still, that if it's already idgin, you're already chayv to be, you're still chayv to be mafresh to trumah gedoyla? So l'chor you have to say that the miruach and the riyas b'nei abayis play two different roles. So Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out, we have a strange din that there is a halacha that even though before Riyas Pnei Abayis there's no Isa Deraisa of Tevel, but nonetheless the Gemara says that Midrabanan, yeah, Mishnah is like that, if you eat Achilas Keva, then there is an Isa Tevel Midrabanan. What's called Achilas Keva? So either you eat a ton of food, or if you eat a little bit of food on Shabbos Kavas, if you salt it, some Melech is Kaveh, if you cook it, some Bishul is Kaveh, Mekach is Kaveh, if you bought it from someone else, a whole list of things that are Kaveh. So Rav Soloveitchik, but if you eat Achilas Aroi, then there's no Isa, only if you eat Achilas Keva. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, isn't that strange that they introduce an Isa de Rabbanon only if you eat at Achilas Keva? Let's say, Shuman Hagid is also mid Rabbanon. In our Torah, only Gid Anoshe is also, and Shuman Hagid is Mutter mid Rabbanon, they ask it Shuman Hagid. So you don't find that they made a difference between Achilas Keva and Achilas Aroi. Basa b'cholav derabbanan. Let's say you cook chicken with milk. It's only basa b'cholav derabbanan. You don't find a difference between achilas keva and achilas aroi. Why in the world should they make a difference over here when it gets to tevel? Usually you say call the tikkun derabbanan. Can't deraisa tikkun the dinam derabbanan are patterned after dinam deraisa. What in the world is the din deraisa that this is patterned after? So he suggested a chiddush, and then we found later the Migdash David quotes this from the Pirush Hamishnayis LaHarambam Hamishnayis Trumas. That's the din deraisa. The reason why min haTorah there's no isa tevel, there's no misa b'dei shamayim if you eat the food before riyas b'nei abayis, because the halacha considers on the level of deraisa whatever you eat before miruach and riyas b'nei abayis, as much as you eat is called achilas haroi. Whenever you eat whatever food you eat, whatever tevel you eat after miruach and riyas b'nei abayis, that's all called achilas keva. That's exactly what the din deraisa is. I mean, the rabbanon called the tikkun rabbanon came deraisa tikkun by tevel. The din deraisa is that it depends on achilas keva. I mean, the rabbanon they said the whole list of other things that are kaveya, not only miruach and riyas b'nei abayis. So it could well be that Tosfos on the first day holds like this: in order to be chayv in trumas ha'maaseh, the peres have to grow to the point of that it should be royal achila. First, when the per lets so you didn't have havua shlishi yet. So it's not chayv in trumas ha'maaseh, it's called eitz b'yalma. Whatever grows from the ground first starts off as eitz, and then it's only called oichel if it reaches a certain stage. So it could well be that when you get to the chiyav hafrasha, we declare that it's eitz up until the time that you do the miruach. Miruach means you separate the oichel from the tzolus and you put it in a neat pile. So then after doing the boira, after separating the oichel from the tzolus, then it's a chefza. That if you'll be mafrish bishibolim b'diavad, it will be chal. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim. If you're mafrish bishibolim, it's chal. If you're mafrish before havoash lish, it's not chal at all. It's mamish eitz. But when you get to the chi of hafrasha, it could be that we declare that the chefze is eitz b'yalma ot until the time of miruach. After you did the miruach, it is the chefze that is. It is called eichel. It is the chefze that will become chiyav in hafrasha. The chi of hafrasha is only chal after riyas b'nei abayis, because that accomplishes a totally different aspect. That accomplishes that. It makes it into Achilas Keva. So it could be that's the first day in Tosfos. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. The first day in Tosfos holds that the Miruch and the Riyas B'nei Abayis accomplish two different things. The Miruch makes it into a Cheftze that Schaib and Shumas and Maisis is considered Oicho, and the Rias Ben Abbas is to make an into Achilas Keva. So that's what Tosis understood. On the level of the Raisa, they accomplished two different things, and it could be that this din of Higdimo Bishibolim as opposed to Higdimo Bikri depends tak on Idgin. It doesn't depend on the Chiyuv Hafrosha, it depends on when you have the Heftze, that's Chayv and Shumas and Maisis. The Meiri has a very interesting comment. I saw Meiri in Psochem, I didn't look over here. On this din of Higdimo Bishibolim, normally we give 2%. The Mishnah recommends that Mida Beinonis is to give 2% of all of the peris to the Kohen as Truma Gedolah. So here, because Higdimo Bishibolim, so the Kohen is going to be cheated, he's not going to get a 2% from the Maaser Rishon. He's only going to get, he would have gotten anyway, 10% of Maaser Rishon. 10% of the Maaser Rishon is Maaser, and a Maaser goes to the Kohen. So the Meiri writes an interesting Chiddush that since Higdimo Bishibolim, you're going to be Mafsid the Kohen, an additional 2% of the Maaser Rishon that you're not going to give him the Truma Gedolah. So in Hilchas Tevel, you don't have to be mafresh to Megdolah. But in Hilchas Dini Mamanis you do, because you're not allowed to cheat the Kohen. Just a Moshal Amad Abadayimah, the din is that Truma Minatari is the same as anything else, is Batel Chad Betray. But Midrabbana, they said, it's only Batel if you have Meyo. So let's say you have, that's Meduma. So let's say you have 100 units of Chulin, and 150 units of gallons of wine of chulin, then you have 1 gallon of truma wine falls into the 150 gallons of chulin wine. So the din is that it's bottle bechor de meyo, it's bottle men. Atar bottle men rabbanon fine. Even after it's bottle, so you're allowed to eat it. The non kain is permitted to eat it, and the kain tame is permitted to eat it also. It doesn't have an isa truma betume. But still, the Gemara says a zar is not allowed to eat it until it's tzarech laharim. You have to take out 1 gallon and give it away to the Kohen. Why is Tzarech Laharim? So the Rishonim quote from the Talmud, Yerushalmi, because Mammon is not Batel. That's a Gemara in the Bavli also, that if I'm holding, let's say, 5 nickels in my hand and someone else drops a nickel into my hand, now I have 6 nickels, I know one of them is not mine, but I don't know which is mine, which belongs to the other fellow. So the Gemara says, you don't say Bittel Berayv and Dini Mammon. Mammon is not Batel. The Dina Bittel Berayv is only on Issa Veheter, on Tumah falls into Tahara. So the Gemara Mecharis talks about Bittel Berayv, that the Tumah disappears. But you don't say Bittel Berayv on Dini Mammon. So that's what the Rishalmi says. Trumah has two issues. Number one, it's Mammon Hashev, it belongs to the Kohen, it doesn't belong to the Yisrael. And number two, it has an Issa Lazarim. So true, that Trumah is Bittel Berayv, Menater is Bittel Be'echod Emeya, Midrabban, and you have the Echod Emeya, it's Bittel. That's only been to get to the Issa Veheter issue, that a Zar is permitted to eat it. But Benegea to the Dini Mominis issue, you can't say that the Truma is Batel Berayv. So therefore, you have to either make out a check or pay the Kohen. So the Rabbanon, they made a din, it's not even good to make out a check, Tzarech Laharim. They don't trust the fellow. There are people who are more careful about Bin Adam Lamokim than they are careful about Bin Adam Lachavero. So if they'll say, you're allowed to, the Truma is Batel Be'echad Emeir, you're allowed to eat it, but just make sure you give the Kohen a gallon of wine later, a gallon of... or make out a check that amount of money, so he may be mezalzal on the dini mamonis. He'll eat the whole hundred, he'll drink up all 151 gallons of wine that he has, and he'll forget about paying the kohen later on. So they made a chumim with the rabbanon that tzorech laharim, you have to treat it as if it's ben adam lamokim, you have to be mafrish minei bay. So that idea that the Yerushalmi brings out, that even after the truma is bottled, the iser, the heter shebo is bottled, but the dini mamonis is not bottled. So that's what the Meiri suggests over here. He has the pshat, whenever you're magdim, maaser rishon shehekdimo bishibolim, you're not supposed to be marfish aloy ala seder. There's a din, maleoscho v'demachal oysa acher, Rashi quotes the Gemara in the first perek in Tmura, that it's an iser to be mishan in the seder hafrosh. Strictly speaking, the iser only applies if it's ready after miruach. If it's before miruach, magdim bishibolim, so there is no iser. Rashi writes that harem, maybe it's a harama, shaila, is it improper to be mafresh? But more correct would have been, he should wait till after he does the miruch and the reis ben habayis, and then he should be mafresh, everything in order. So he did shaloi ala seder, he was first mafresh, the maaser rishon, bishibolim, and And then he's going to be mafrish maiser mina maiser. So he's potter from giving the, strictly speaking, he doesn't have to give truma gedoyla on the 10% on the maiser rishon, but because he was mishana the seder hafrosha, so he's being mafsid dekoyin. So the Miri has a chiddush that true in Hilchas Tevel, there's no way it's a Tevel. You don't have to be mafresh the truma from the 10% of Maaser Rishon in Hilchas Tevel. Just take out the Maaser Mena Maaser and there's no way it's a Tevel. But indeed in Mominus it's not right. You have to be mafresh how much the coin would have gotten from the Maaser Rishon. A little bit mashman the Rambam also. One place when the Rambam writes, Ikdima b'shibolim, he says, and then you went ahead and you ate it, so you yotze matzah, and you mitzarf to bench mezumin, and so on. He says, and he writes, the Rambam writes, even though you weren't yet mafrish, the truma gedoyla. What do you mean, even though you weren't yet mafrish? You aren't going to be mafrish. What kind of lotion? Even though you weren't mafrish. So it sounds perhaps when the Rambam also that he thinks like that, Neri, that you really are mechuyev to be mafrish. You're not mechuyev to be mafrish in Hilchas Teva, but you're mechuyev to be mafrish in Hilchas Dini Mamanis, that you're being mafsed the kind because you're doing Shaloy El HaSeder. That's an interesting chiddush. The Gemara has on the bottom of the Amud, the Gemara points out pshat in the Mishnah that when someone is paid a Maaser Sheni, his own Maaser Sheni, so the Torah says you have to be Maasev Chaimish. Kamashisa Yosef Olav. So Gemara interprets in the Mishnah that Tosef is Chaimish is not Miyakev. So this is an interesting halacha. Tosfos writes in Nida Dav Samach Vavim and Aleph that it doesn't make sense to have a lachatchila the araisa unless it's in the area of a mitzvah. In a matir, let's say lachatchila the get should be written like this, but b'yavid you wrote it that way, so it's also good. Lachatchila you shouldn't cook kosher food in a tray for cliche in a ben yomah, but b'yavid if you did it's kosher. Lachatchila you should have done the shechita like this, but b'yavid it's kosher like that. So lachatchila b'yavid in the area of Yisav Heter only makes sense on the level of the rabban. On the level of the raisa, if it's muta b'diyavid, it's muta lachatchila. It only makes sense to have a lachatchila the raisa in the area of a mitzvah, so you can talk about a mitzvah b'shleimusa is to do like this. And b'diyavid, if you do a mitzvah shalav b'shleimusa, you'd say the mitzvah shalav b'shleimusa, you get less when you go to Gan Eden, you get less schar, get less chelak of a leviyasin, a smaller piece of the leviyasin, you'll get less schar. And thus it gives us a mashal, chalitza. So lechatchila you have to perform the mitzvah b'shleimusa to do chalitzas hasandal and rikika and kriyas hapsukim. And b'diyavid we paskin that the kriyas hapsukim is not miyakev and even the rikika is not miyakev. The different opinions in Tanoim, we paskin only the chalitza is miyakev. So why do you have to do it lechatchila if it's not miyakev? So why do you have to waste your time? So he says, not because chalitza is a mitzvah. You have to fulfill lechatchila, you have to fulfill a mitzvah b'shleimusa. B'diyavid if you do Shalai b'shalai Musa, you're also yotze. So the Netziv has in his commentary on the Shiltas, on Simen Kuf, when the Shiltas has in Parshas Kedoshim, he talks about the din of Orlo, b'chutz l'aretz, and that the Revai, b'chutz l'aretz. So there's a Tosfos in Brochas on the first Amud, in Perek Heitz and Mevarchim, a Tosfos quotes from the Shiltas. Shiltas is writing a Sefer Psak Haloch HaLamaisa, how do you deal with net the Revai, b'chutz l'aretz? So he says you have to be paid in the revai on a shabbat pruta, and then you're allowed to eat it. The Rambam holds that there is no din of neter revai b'chutz l'aretz. It's only halacha moshe misinai avorla, and the goyim hold not so. The Rambam himself quotes the goyim. So Tosfos quotes the Shiltas that there is a din of neter revai, and you're paid on a shabbat pruta, and then you're allowed to eat it. So the achrayim ask a whole list of kashas. So Shiltas is writing a sefer the Psak Halacha. He forgot to write the correct dinim. Forgot to mention that you say a bracha. Normally, when you pay the Maaser Sheni, you recite a bracha. How come the Shiltas left it out when you pay the Neter Revai? Then the Shiltas writes you pay the on a Shavu Pruta. Shavu Pruta. The Gemara says Pidyon Maaser Sheni, Pidyon Neter Revai is one of the three dinim where you don't say Shavu Kesef Kekesef. Kol HaTarakula, you Mekadosh Anisha, you give a ring. Call it Tarakula, Shavu Kesef Kekesef. Pidyon Aden, you don't have to give cash. The Gemara says, Talas are the Pidyon, Bnei Egel are the Pidyon, you can give Shavu Kesef. And by the Zikin Tishua, the Gemara says, Tachas Rabbi Shavu Kesef, Hafilu Subin, you can give anything. The Gemara has in the end of Chorus, Daphnin Aleph and Manal, the Gemara has a Braisa that there are only three cases where we say Shavu Kesef, Lav Kesef. One is Pidyon Maaser Sheni, because it says, Vitzata Kesef Yadecha, Kesef Shiesh Olav Tzura. The Gemara has that on Kuf Chav Chesam and Aleph, that Rosha. Then the Gemara says another din is Machtzis HaShekel needs Dafke Kesef, Shavu Kesef is not accepted. And that's a question that Mefarshim and Yerushalmi Shkolim have a discussion. The Afyami people just learned it, whether that din is a din deraisa, din derabbanan. That Pidyon Maaser Sheni needs Kesef, that Gemara learns that from Sukkim. That's clearly a din deraisa. But the second din, that Machtzis HaShekel, you're not Yotze, if you give Shavu Kesef, is that a din deraisa, din derabbanan? Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he discusses Kesef and Shavu Kesef. And he writes that he felt that his main sefer that he wrote in his lifetime was his Chibra Yerushalmi, and when he ran away from the communists, he had to leave it behind, and he felt that he lost his work's life. He felt that all the tshuvas he wrote that was not so significant. He felt that the main sefer that he wrote he left behind in Russia, the Chibra Yerushalmi. So he writes in his tshuva and his my Chibra Yerushalmi and Shkolim, I explain that this is a din deraisa. The Mefarshim and Yerushalmi have a machlekes about that, whether that din, then machzah shekel, you have to give dafke kesef and not show the kesef, is that deraisa derabbanan? The third din is clearly only derabbanan. Rashi writes, it's only with derabbanan that when you come to be oyla regal, and Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, that you have to purchase an oylas riya, dafke using kish. You shouldn't use show the kesef. So Rashi refers you to the Talmud Yerushalmi that gives a whole explanation why they introduce such a din derabbanan. But here for sure it's a din deraisa. So how does Tosis write? Tosis quotes the Shiltas and Brachas Daf Lamed Hem and Aleph. Then when you paid in the net and right, you paid on a shovet pruta. What kind of shovet pruta? It has to be on a pruta. All the Achronim ask. And then Tosis has a kasha that they don't have a teretz on. How come the Gemara needs two different psukim? You have psukim and chumash about pidyon maaser sheni and maaser sheni net revives gzeru shovet kodesh kodesh. Why does the Gemara all of a sudden need? So the Gemara understands, and the word hilulim is if it were written hilulim, because the hey and the ches looked almost the same in the Sefer Torah script. So the Gemara says, achle behadar achle. First you should be poida. Hilulim means to be poida, and at the Rabbi, then you can eat in chutz Yerushalayim. So Tosis blibes by kasha there in brachas. Why did the Gemara need another pasuk to tell you that there's an institution? Opinion that they're avai. We know there's a psukim and chumash at the end of the chukaisai. The opinion ma'aser sheni and kodesh kodesh. There's a gzeirah shavah. So all the dinam of opinion ma'aser sheni carry over to neter avai. Why do you need two psukim? And then the achrenim ask another kasha. The shiltis is a sefer psak. He forgot to say that you're moisav chumash. He's talking about being paid in neter avai. So if you paid the iron, you have to be moisav chumash. Paid to someone else, you just give carrot. Paid the iron should be moisav chumash. So the Sefer Psach just made three mistakes. Forgot to say a bracha, and he said you paid on Shavu Kesef, and he forgot to mention that you need Tosefes Chumash. What kind of a Sefer Psach is it? He made three mistakes, and then you have a kasha on the Gemara. Why do you need two psukim? So the Netziv writes a whole Shia Kloli, fantastic, in one short paragraph. He says Sedot Zvei Dinim. He wrote the Sefer before Rav Chaim married his granddaughter. He wrote the Sefer when he was 17 years old. The Bir on the Shiltas. So he writes. Tzvei dinim over here. You need two psukim because there are two dinim. He says, Chaymish is not miyakev. So what he needed, lachatkhila? So obviously, pidyon, maaser sheni, pidyon neter avai is a mitzvah. So it's right to talk about a lachatkhila deraisa. So he says, b'me dvar ma'amurim, that pidyon, maaser sheni, neter avai is a mitzvah, if it's neter avai in Eretz Yisrael, because it's from the mitzvahs hatliyas baretz. Neter avai b'chutz lords, all the mitzvahs hatliyas baretz are not noeg b'chutz lords. So how come Orla is an exception to the rule? So the Mefarshim and the Mishnah say, because Orla is not a mitzvah tli boris, it's an Iser Orla. So what's with Neter Revai? Neter Revai is not a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to eat a Neter Revai in Yerushalayim. So he says, perhaps the Vort is a Neter Revai, but Chutzlar, it only has the Isurim aspects to it. It has an Iser not to eat in Chutzli Yerushalayim. But it's not that it's a mitzvah to bring it to Yerushalayim, to eat it in Yerushalayim. It's an Issa to eat a chutz Yerushalayim. You only have a heter if you bring it to Yerushalayim. So maybe there's a difference. Maybe the pidyon neter revai Beretz Yisrael is it's a mitzvah to bring neter revai to Yerushalayim to eat it, and it's a mitzvah to be paida. So when you paida neter revai in Eretz Yisrael, you would say a bracha. Mashenikin, if you neter revai b'chutz lords, he suggests maybe there's no mitzvah. There's only an Issa. It's a heter to eat it in Yerushalayim. So to say a bracha on the pidyon. Maybe the pidyon is only a matir. It's still a question. Maybe you should say a bracha on a matir. Sometimes, once in a while, we do say a bracha on a matir. That's a question. Hafrasha struma, whether hafrasha struma is a mitzvah or a matir. Okay. We do say a bracha on a matir. Shchita, you say a bracha on shchita, even though it's only a matir. This is how the Netziv suggests. Maybe the Shiltis holds Bedafka. You need two psukim because of two different dinim. The one pasuk tells you that there's a pinyon ha shel mitzvah, and then you say a bracha, and then it's sharp to talk about Tosefes Chaimesh, and that halacha requires dafke kesef sheyesh olav tzura. And then you have this other pasuk, hilulim chilulim achle v'hoder achle, that there's another root, there's another kind of pinyon that's only pinyon hamater, not a pinyon shel mitzvah. A pinyon hamater, maybe there's no bracha and there's no Tosefes Chaimesh, because how can you have a Al-Hatkhila derais in the area of Yisra Behet, you only have Al-Hatkhila derais in the area of a mitzvah. And then maybe since it's a different mocker, it's a different pasuk for this pinyon, so maybe even Shavu Kesef is also good. Well, you only need Kesef as opposed to Shavu Kesef, that's if you're doing a pinyon shal mitzvah. A fantastic shtikl turk. The only shayla is how can, but if Orla b'chutz lo'etz and net derai b'chutz lo'etz halachal moshe misina, so how can you have a pasuk, hilulim chilulim, talking about a halachal moshe misina? He has to figure out a case. Where is there a din deraisa leaving out? Where is there a din deraisa of Torah Shebichsav, where there's a pinyon that's only a matir? It's not a pinyon shal mitzvah. So he dug up a sheet of Mukubetzis in Perak HaZohav in Bob Metzia, where the Gemara talks there about pinyon Maisusheni, that if you have Maisusheni, Sheinbo, Shavei Pruto, so then there is no mitzvah to bring it to Yerushalayim. If you want to leave it, in Tel Aviv and let it right away, because in Tehei normally you're not allowed to leave the Maaseh Sheni Derisha right away. It's a mitzvah to bring it to Yerushalayim. So the Shita Mekubetzes says if you have Maaseh Sheni Sheimbo Shavu Pruta, it's the opinion is only opinion amater, it's not opinion shal mitzvah. So he says you find in Torah Shebichsav you have such a din, so that's why you need the pasuk of Hilulim Chilulim to tell you the second din opinion. Because the whole shtickle Torah begins with this nekuda. How can you have such a thing that pinyon Maisusheni needs Tosefes Chaimesh, but it's not miyakeh b'di'evid? But the Tosefes says in the end of Nida that you can only have lachatchilim b'di'evid deraisa in the area of a mitzvah, not in a matir. So that's what led him to develop this whole idea that the two types of pinyon, sometimes it's a pinyon shal mitzvah and sometimes it's a pinyon hamater. So that's why the Shiltus left out the Tosefes Chaimesh, because this pinyon is only a pinyon hamater. Fantastic chiddush. Yeah, this halacha that you need dafke kesef sheyesh olav tzura, that you don't allow shove kesef, is not dina kekesef and again to on the level of the raisa for sure, but again to maaseh sheni. So how do you establish what is kesef? Kesef only means silver coins. The word kesef means silver, so it means silver coins, and golden coins are no good. So that's the Rav Moshe has in his tshuva. He says it cannot be. Because the Mishnayos talk about being paid the Maaseh Sheni on copper coins, paid the Maaseh Sheni on golden coins. The Mishnayos talk about giving Machzat Shekel, also golden coins. They gave Darkon and Shel Zohov. So if you hold that, Rav Moshe holds that Machzat Shekel is a din deraisa that you have to give Dafke Kesef, and it says in the Tanakh that they gave in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, they gave Darkon and Shel Zohov. So you see the golden coins are also considered Kesef. So you can't say that Kesef means silver coins. So how would you define kesef? What is the definition of kesef? So the Shach in Yeridei and Hilchas Ribbis should have been maybe in Chosh Mishpah, but the Shach has in Hilchas Ribbis. The Shach says that here, L'chol HaDeis, everybody agrees, Adina de Malchus Adina. In Chosh Mishpah, at the end of Chosh Mishpah, the Ramah quotes different opinions, how far do you go with the Dina of Dina de Malchus Adina? Exactly how many cases does it cover? Ramah talks about the obligation to pay taxes is based on Dina de Malchus Adina. What else is included? That's all, or is more included? So the whole discussion in the Ramah, and then which taxes? The government has the right to introduce new taxes, or only old taxes that were accepted already by the population? So there are different opinions. So the Shach writes in Hilchas Ribbis that this everybody agrees to determine, to establish what is kesef as opposed to shove kesef, that's defined as legal tender. So it depends, the legitimate government, you have to have a legitimate government in your country. If you have a bunch of pirates, who are not accepted by the population, but what can they do? They're harassing everybody, and they mint coins, so that's not considered kesef, that's considered shavu kesef. But if you have a respectable government, see, that's why the Neturei Karta don't recognize the Medina, so they can't use shkolim for the purpose of pidyon maaseh sheni. So they follow the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says you pidyon maaseh sheni on shillings, but the Chazon Ish wrote it before Hakamas HaMedina. He wasn't talking after the Medina was that. Everybody uses it. All the Rabbanim use Israeli coins. Obviously, they recognize the government. They wouldn't recognize the government. You couldn't use Israeli coins if they say, like the Torah Karta say, the government and Israel are a bunch of pirates. If it's a bunch of pirates, he can't be paid the Maaser Sheni on Israeli coins. Everybody's paid the Maaser Sheni on Israeli coins, except for the Neturei Karten, the 4.5 people who belong to the Neturei Karten. So you see all the Gedolim, Rabbi Yashiv used Israeli money. All the tzaddikim, all the rabbanim, everybody. Only the Neturei Karten doesn't use it. So this is a question for many years. Rav Neuwirth passed away. So for many years he was a Yekke. He was brought up together in Germany together with a whole group of Yekkes who daven here in Breuers. So for many years he gave permission to anybody who was a member of Breuers Kehillah to use his Pruta Chamura, which he had in Bayit V'Gan, in his home, for the purpose of Pidyon Maaser Sheni. So the question is, but he had an Israeli coin. So if you're paid there, we have Israeli products in America. We buy fruits and vegetables, and sometimes we don't know if they were mafrish, trumas and maisers. So we're mafrish, maisers, shen, then we want to be paid there. So we're in America, and the food is in America, and the coin is in Eretz Yisrael. So is an Israeli coin acceptable? When the Shach writes in Hilchas Ribbis that kesef, as opposed to shavah kesef, means legal tender, declared, recognized by the government, by the legitimate government of that country, as legal tender, recognized by the government of which country? So the three logical possibilities could depend on the place where the Maaser Sheni is, could depend on the place where the man who's doing the pinyon is, could depend on the location where the money is. So which is it? So there's a Beferishi Gemara in Bava Kamma, in the end of Bava Kamma and HaGoizel, where the Gemara takes a stand on this, but there are two girsas in the Gemara. The Rambam and the Raibid have two different girsas in the Gemara. The Raibid writes, according to my Gemara, it doesn't say that. So the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Raibid, nobody says that it depends on the location where the Paris are. The two girsas are, does it depend on the location where the person is? Does it depend on the location where the cash is? So Rav Neuwirth's cash was Israeli money sitting in Beit V'Gan. So according to, I think, the Raibid, according to the Raibid sheet, it's okay. But according to the Rambam, since the one is being paid in the Maaser Sheni is in America, and according to the Rambam's gears, it depends where the Adam HaPoid is. In America, Israeli coins in America are Shavah Kesef. They're not considered Kesef. It's not legal tender in America. It's legal tender in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not, the Shkolim are not recognized by the American government. So that's important to keep in mind. The Gemara Kuf Chav Tesem and Aleph has a discussion with Amos I Psichas HaKever. What is this halacha, psichas hakever? Psa halacha l'moshe misina, when is psichas hakever? If the woman has to go to the hospital, so the husband has to drive her, has to get the taxi to take her to the hospital. What's a shaila? Well, you have to wait till psichas hakever. So Rav Velbelos Alvechik has in a sefer on the Rambam, fantastic shtikol Torah. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Choyle, in Simen Shin Chav Ches, quotes the Magen Mishnah, that for a choyle sheyesh bo sakana, not only are you permitted to be mechal Shabbos for things that were actually necessary to save his life, even something that's not, he's going to live without it, he's going to survive without this, but it'll make life more comfortable for him. So you're permitted to be mechal Shabbos for a choyle sheyesh bo sakana, for kol tzarachos, all of the needs that he has in order to make life a little more comfortable. So there's a long bir halacha there. Bir halacha says this Magen Mishnah is a pele. And he says it's against this Gemara, that Gemara, the other Gemara, it's against all the Rishonim, and he says you shouldn't follow this. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, so he says maybe Benegir to the Rabbanans, maybe you can follow. To do Kol Tzarachov on the Rabbanans. But on the Raisins, he doesn't think you should follow this Magen Mishnah at all. So Radovel Soloveitchik writes that his father, Rab Chaim, used to insist the din is like the Magen Mishnah, that Yimachal Shabbos were Kol Tzarachov, and the same thing on Yom Kippur. If you have a choyle sheyesh b'sakana, who has to eat on Yom Kippur, so you don't give him pachas mikashir. Kol tzarachov requires you have to give him a normal meal. What would he eat on a normal day? Ben and Shulchan Aruch, they talk about eating pachas mikashir, because even a chatzishir is asa manatar, but there's no kores. So the Gemara says, whenever the Gemara says in the last parak in Yuma, whenever you have sakonis nefashis and you have to violate an iser, so you should violate hakal akal tchila. Let's say if you have tevel, is if you eat tevel is misa b'day shemayim, and if you eat chelev, it's koris. So koris is worse than misa b'day shemayim. So if you have to eat either A or B to save your life, so eat the tevel rather than eating the chelev. If you have something that has misa b'day shemayim, something else only has malchus, eat the thing that has malchus. You have to figure out which is hakala kal tchila. So pachas mikashir is only an avera she'ein bo karis on Yom Kippur. Beautiful shear is going to be yesh bo karis. So should not be covered with the din of hakala kal tchila. And that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You give the choylo she'esh besakan, you give pachas mikashir. So Rav Chaim said, no, that's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The truth of the matter, that's what it says in the Mishnah Berurah also, like Rav Chaim said. People don't read the Mishnah Berurah. Rav Chaim said, the only time we say on Yom Kippur you have to eat pachas mikashir is if the person is healthy. He's not a choylo she'esh besakan. We're just afraid if he's going to fast, he may fall into a sakana. So then, try to minimize. But what if he already is a chayla she'esh b'sakon? He's deathly sick. He has some kind of condition. He's deathly sick. So then we say he's allowed to do, if it would be Shabbos, we would say he's allowed to do malacha for kol tzarachav, to make life more comfortable. Not only to save his life, even to make life more comfortable. So to eat a normal meal, that's certainly kol tzarachav. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah really says like that. Rav Soloveitchik used to tell over, and he printed in Ish Halacha that when his father Rav Moshe Soloveitchik took his first Rabbanis, so Rav Chaim made him promise to him that he's going to follow his psak, that on Yom Kippur you tell a chayla she'esh b'sakana to eat, not to eat pachas b'ngashir, to eat kol tzaracha, because the din is like the Margin Mishnah. And he made him shake his hands, he made him make a tkias kaf on this, that he's going to follow that psak. Now Soloveitchik always used to say that this was the psak of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Truth of the matter, the Netziv writes this in his commentary on the Shiltas. He was a teenager when he came to Volozhin, and he said the Nachlas David was still alive, Rav David Tebel was still alive, and he told him, the Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin the last 39 years. Volozhin lasted 90 years. So he was the Rosh Yeshiva the last 39 years. And the Nachlas David had learned by Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Nachlas David said this was the Psak HaMekubal and Volozhin Yeshiva from Rav Chaim Volozhiner, not from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. It was from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. And Rav Kook also used to tell over, this was the Psak of the Netziv. He didn't say the Psak of Rav Chaim. He was Mekurev, Rav Kook was Mekurev to the Netziv as opposed to Rav Chaim. He said this was the Psak of the Netziv based on the Psak of Rav Chaim Volozhiner like that. So Rav Dabal has this in his Sefer on the Rambam about Kol Tzarachav. And then he goes one by one, he answers all of the kashas of the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha. He says all the cases that the Mishnah Berurah quoted are not talking about a person who already is a chayla mesukan. He's talking about a person who may become a chayla. If he won't be Mechal Shabbos now, he may fall into a sakana. He may become a mesukan. But if he already is a chayla she'esh b'sakana, then the Magen Mishnah is right, and that's how he passed on the Kol Tzarachav b'zmutah. So Rav Dovel says, and that's what it means in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't mean to say that until Psichas HaKever, you're not allowed to call a doctor to say, my wife is in labor. You're not allowed to call a doctor, you're not allowed to drive to the hospital. No, she can have the baby any minute. The Gemara means to say, when does she have the status of Achodah She'esh B'Sakana, the Yoledes reaches a certain point that not just, see, if you're going to wait till the Yoledes is about to give birth, she may develop a complication later. So you have to be Mechal Shabbos in advance. You have to drive to the hospital. You have to call the doctor to be ready and so on. But when do we declare she already is a Chodesh She'esh B'Sakana and you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Kol Tzarachav? So that's what the Gemara says. Me'emas avi psichas hakeber. That's what the Gemara means. He reads the Magen Mishnah into the Gemara. That Gemara means, when does the woman have the status of a Chodesh She'esh B'Sakana? The Kol Tzarachav is muta. Before that, you're also allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, but only to the extent that it's necessary to make sure that the sakonas are taken care of. The Al-Dabla reads this into the Gemara. Says that's what the Gemara means. With respect to sakonas nefoshes, so the Gemara says, even a svek svek of a sakonas nefoshes, yimachal shabbos. The Gemara says in Ksubis, antav tezvav ha-menes, tezvav ha-medbeis, and it's a whole sugya in the last parak in Yuma, lehocha b'bikuch nefoshes achar ha-raif. Even though, let's say, there's a situation, the person is so sick, the odds are that he's going to die anyway. Even if I drive him to the hospital, they can't save his life. But the odds are he's not going to die even if I don't drive him to the hospital on Shabbos. So even though the odds are 10 to 1, that it's irrelevant. By being b'mechal Shabbos, by driving to the hospital, is irrelevant. Ben Kovakar is going to survive, and Ben Kovakar is going to die. So that's the halacha. Taisa says you learn it after the pasuk. Any suffix, any svek svek of pikuach nefesh, you're permitted to be Mechal Shabbos. Not only a suffix of 50-50, even a far-fetched suffix. So now on this, the Gemara has a pasuk from Tilim, Shaymeh, Psoim Hashem, on Kuf Chav Tesam and Beis, that if people keep in the dosh, Kiven the Dosha Bei Rabim, we apply Shama Psaim Hashem. What does it mean? So the Ramosha has a tshuva about this, and he rejects this pshat. He says, he never found anybody says that. Rab Chaim Oizer has a tshuva where he quotes a whole series of Achrayim who say, this pasuk Shama Psaim Hashem only applies when the suffix Akon is nowhere near 50-50. Way, the odds are 10 to 1, 100 to 1. So nonetheless, the Gemara says, you have to treat it like a suffix sakana. But what are the percentages? And what if there's one chance? Echad mina elef alfei alofim. It's also considered a suffix sakanas nefashas. So the Pischei Tshuva and Yeredeya, the end of Yeredeya, when they have the simon about the doctors treating patients. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes a chasam sefer that's ridiculous. Echad mina elef alfei alofim. That's not called the suffix sakanas nefashas. The Pashto says that that's we assumed like that Chasam Sefer against the Maharam Shik. The Maharam Shik was a Talmud of the Chasam Sefer. So he has a tshuva about mitzitza bepeh. That's when they started tumbling about the mitzitza. So the Tiferes Yisrael HaMishnayis Perek Rav Lezer de Mila is prepared to do away with the whole mitzitza. He says the Gemara says in Rav Lezer de Mila that the mitzitza is the simple reading in the Gemara. Mitzitza is not part of the mitzvah of Mila. Mitzitza is only for medical purposes. So if there's that they use antiseptics, so you shouldn't need any mitzitza. So the Torah is afraid to do away with it, but he says at least mitzitza bepet that you don't need. So all the Gedolim, the Torah was a holy tzaddik. He used to sit in Talis and Tulin all day long and write his chibur on Mishnayos. He used to go to mikveh every morning before he wrote his chibur on Mishnayos. He was not a maskal or anything. So he was a holy tzaddik. So all the Gedolim came out against him. No, you have to do mitzitza, you have to do mitzitza bepeh. There's no longer any sakana. So they give different suggestions. So the Maharam Shik writes, who says there's not a sakana? The doctors say medically there's no sakana. All of medicine is only based on records that they have. How many cases came up? So they have recorded 20,000 circumcisions where they didn't do mitzitza, and the baby didn't die. Nothing happened. Maybe if they'll have 5 million circumcisions, maybe one baby will die. They don't have enough records on everything. So he writes, if there's a suffix, echad min elef alfei alofim, one chance out of a million, it's also called the suffix sakon. So the Pashto says that it's not correct. The Pashto says like his Rebbe, like the Chasam Sofer, that if you have a suffix, echad min elef alfei alofim, that's not called the suffix sakon. So what's the cutoff point? It doesn't have to be 50-50, it doesn't have to be anywhere near 50-50. But if Zechad Min Eyalef Alfei Alofim, then it's not. So what's the cutoff point? So that's where Abchaim Oizer quotes all the Poskim say. It depends on this Pasuk Shem Epsayim Hashem. Is the person nervous about it or not? If the Chayla is nervous, so then it's called the Sofek Sakana. If the Chayla himself is not nervous, then it's not called the Sofek Sakana. If it's 50-50, or anywhere near 50-50, so then it's a Sofek Sakana, even though he's not a nervous person at all. He's going to jump off from the Empire State Building without anything on the bottom to jump into to protect. And he's going to say, look, man, no hands, he's jumping. That's more than 50-50. About a suffix sakana, even though he doesn't care, even though he's not nervous. That's for sure, that's a suffix sakana. But if it's a suffix rachaik, that either he personally is not nervous about, the normal people are not nervous about, then you apply the pasuk of Shem Epsayim Hashem. Rav Moshe has a few tshuvas about birth controls, and one of the Gemara in the first parak in Yevamos talks about Shem Epsayim Hashem in the context of birth control. So Rav Moshe doesn't like that svar. The Shem Epsayim Hashem should only apply in situations where it's nowhere near 50-50. He says nobody said that, but that's Rav Chaim Moshe quotes all the classical poskim said like that. That's the Pashtus in the Gemara. In the official biography of the Chazon Ish that they put out many years ago, the Pe'er Ador, so they have that Chazon Ish moved to Eretz Yisrael before the Second World War. So when the Nazis came close to Eretz Yisrael, so they were dropping bombs. So at that time they didn't have any radar. So in order to be able to drop a bomb, they had to either drop it in the daytime, or if they would want to drop a bomb at night, so the plane that would be going above would have to see where the lights are on. So they would tell you to turn out all the lights. I remember as a little boy in Pennsylvania when I was growing up, so we were practicing in case the Nazis come to attack. They didn't come anywhere near America. We were practicing, so they would have a blackout. So they would run a siren, and everybody had to turn out the lights. So the shaila was, if it's Friday night, what do you do? It's only a practice. It's not a real thing. Not allowed to turn out the lights. So they give you a penalty if you didn't turn out the lights. And my father would, when the policeman would come, my father would explain, I'm an Orthodox rabbi, I'm not allowed to turn out the lights. So sometimes he got away with it, sometimes he didn't get away with it. Sometimes he had to pay the penalty, okay? But in Eretz Yisrael, it was a real suffix sakana. So if they would have the siren go off, indicating that they think that the Nazis may drop a bomb, so everyone would have to turn off the lights. So they asked the Chazon Ish, what's the din if you live in a village and you can hear faintly from a distance, far away distance, you hear faintly the siren went off over there, meaning that there's a chashash over there. They think that the Germans may be dropping a bomb. Are you permitted or obligated or forbidden to turn off all the lights in your village? What's the din? So they asked the Chazon Ish. So the Chazon Ish told over two psokim from the Chafetz Chaim. He said that Chafetz Chaim once visited Lodz. Chafetz Chaim also died before the Second World War began, but it was anti-Semitism building up for a long time, for many years. So he visited Lodz, and he was there for a few hours. So two balabatim asked the same shaila an hour apart from each other, not at the same time. So they both asked the same shaila, they're Shomrei Shabbos, and they just barely make ends meet, and they have no savings. And if they would take a job to be Michal Shabbos, they would make more money. They'd be able to put away money in the savings account. And the concern is that this building, anti-Semitism is building up, and they may have to run for their lives. They may have to buy a ticket on a train to leave. They can't just walk away. They may have to buy a ticket. They don't have any money to buy any ticket. They just barely make ends meet. Are they permitted to be Michal Shabbos? Because it is suffix sakanas nefashis. So the Chafetz Chaim asked the first one, who asked the Shaila, he said, do you really think that that may save your life? He said, I think it's a joke. But that's what people say. I think either they're going to kill me or they're not going to kill me. I don't think being Michal Shabbos and putting away the money in the bank account, I don't think it's going to help. So he said, then for you it's us. And then he asked the Balabas, who asked him an hour later, the exact same Shaila, so he asked him, do you think that it may save your life? He says, yeah. He thinks it may make or break his pikuach nefesh. The Chafetz Chaim told him, then for you it's mutter. Why? Because it's very far-fetched, nowhere near 50-50. So that's the halacha, even a svek sveik, even lahoch b'pikuach nefesh achar harayit. But then we apply the klal, Hashem yapsayim Hashem. So for the person who's nervous, it's called the suffix akon. The person who's not nervous is not called the suffix akon. So that's what the Chazon Ish said here in Eretz Yisrael. You can't say for the person who's nervous he should turn out the lights. The person who's not nervous, he doesn't have to turn out the lights. They're all in the same village. If they're going to have one light that's going to be on, so they're going to drop a bomb, they'll all get killed. So they don't tell the end of the story. The end of the story of Pipash as well is that the Chazon Ish, probably Paskin, if one person in the village is nervous, everyone is mechuyev to turn off the lights. If one person is nervous, that means for him it's a suffix sakana. For those who are not nervous, not a suffix sakana. But if one person is nervous, then for him it is a suffix sakana. So everyone has to turn off the lights. The Gemara Kuflamet Amar Aleph tells the two different stories. One about the community of Rabbi Yosef Aglili, that they used to eat Besarayf Becholov, even though that was not the accepted opinion. And one about the community of Rabbi Lezer, that used to be Mechal Shabbos for the Machshirei Mila, and they were not punished. They were not punished because they were following the Psak of the Morda Asra. So the Chazon Ish has an essay about this in the Sefer on Yerideya. Everything goes in the order of the Yerideya. So in Reish Mem Vov, Simen Reish Mem Vov in Yerideya, is a siman about harua sisa v'heter. How are you supposed to pass in a shayla? So the Chazon Ish says, the Gemara says there were machlokes in b'shamayim b'silo. So we pass like the b'silo because acharei rabim lahata. So the Gemara nonetheless says in the end of the first parak in Yevamos, osa b'shamayim ki divreim. B'shamayim followed their shitas. What happened to the din of acharei rabim lahata? So the answer is, they're not mechuyev to follow acharei rabim lahata. They have a Rebbe muvik, they follow their Rebbe. For balabatim who are neither talmidim but b'shamayim nor talmidim but b'silo, so we're looking from a distance, that's not my Rebbe, I respect all of them, so then you follow the right. But for those who are talmidim of the b'shamayim, so they follow the Rebbe muvik, so the Chazon Ish says that's the pshat in our Gemara also. Reb Lezer had the status of Rabbi muvik, he was the Morda Asra in his city. Rabbi Yosef Aglili was the Morda Asra. Whoever is Morda Asra has the status of Rabbi muvik of all of the balabatim in that city, even years after he passes away. The Pashtus in the stories, Rabbi Yosef Aglili had passed away a long time ago. But in his village, they always followed all of his shitas. So he says, you can latch on. The Chazon Ish says, let's say I fall in love with the Vilna Gaon. I'm so taken by the greatness of the Vilna Gaon. He himself was taken by the great and Sanatan Sofer. For many years, he looked up to the Vilna Gaon as Rabbi Muvik, and he followed all the psukim of the Vilna Gaon till a certain point in his life when he decided no more. He no longer considered the Vilna Gaon Rabbi Muvik, but for many years he did consider the Vilna Gaon Rabbi Muvik. They said, you can latch on to someone even though the person is not alive, if his psukim are known and call it Tarakula. Let's say they're going to find a Ksav Yad from Marishan on one Sif, on one Halacha, and I think it's Givaldik, so I'm going to latch on, that's Rabbi Muvik, I'm going to follow his Chumra, follow his Kula. So he said, that can't be Rabbi Muvik, it's only Rabbi Muvik if you have all of his Haros and Kola Tarakula and all Chelke Hatar. But here, that was the practice. The Moradasra had the status of Rabbi Muvik, and therefore, they had the right, they had the obligation to follow all of the psukim of Rabbi Eliezer, all the psukim of Rabbi Yosef Glili, even though that was against the right, because the Talmidim who followed the Rabbi Muvik, I'm chayiv to follow. Just on the din, that Mila, Bizman, is Decha Shabbos, so the Vilna Gaon, the very last Sif Kotten, the very last Sif in Hilchas Mila and Yeredeya, and Simen Reish Samach Vav, there's a machlekes in the Mechab and the Ramah, and the Vilna Gaon explains what the machlekes is, that in the Beis HaMikdosh, every day of the year, including Shabbos, they used to divide up, they used to give kibbutim to different kohanim to do, each one did a different part of the hakrovas tamidim u'masofim. So one kind did the shechita, one kind did the kabbalah, one kind did the zrika, one kind did the haktara on this, haktara on that. They didn't have one kind do the whole avodah. And regarding bris milah, it's a machlokes, milah bizman is decha Shabbos, the merabah holds you have to have one moil, do everything. On Shabbos, the Mila with the Priya. You can't be Mechabed. There used to be a practice to be Mechabed, I think this morning they did like that. They had two different Moilam. I think maybe one did the Mila, one did the Priya. Not sure. Most people can't do that today because most of the Moilam cut off the Or Harla with the Or Priya together. But the Katzensteins do the Hungarian. He, Katzenstein, learned by his father, who learned by Hanai, by Cohen. And Cohen was a Hungarian. So by the Hungarians, they still do Mila and Priya in two different parts. So it's possible to be mechaber two different people. So the Ramah says the minig is in Krakow they mechaber two different people even on Shabbos. So the Vilna Gaon explains what's the and the Ramah says like in the Beis Hamikdash they had many people do the hakrovas hakavanas. So the Vilna Gaon explains what's the machlokes. Fundamental machlokes are rishonim on the first daf kuf lamed where the milah bizmana is doicha Shabbos or Shabbos is hutra. If it's hutra, if it's dechuya means my need to fulfill a mitzvah. Is doicha the yisus. I have to fulfill the mitzvah if I'm going to do the milah, not do the prius. I didn't do the mitzvah. At the end of the day, the mitzvah will have been fulfilled on the baby. But in order for me to have a koyach dechia, I have to do the mitzvah. So mechabahos a milah bizman is decha Shabbos is the din of dechuya. So the tzorach agarbet to do the kiyama mitzvah allows him to violate Shabbos. He has to do the kiyama mitzvah from the beginning to the end. And the Ramah holds no, it's hutra. The cheftz of milah bizmana. The first moil did Mila, the second moil did Priya, and together this is the Mila. If you'll only do the Mila, you won't do the Priya, and then the whole day will go by, you didn't do the Priya, so you didn't do the Mila. So you went, moil will apart, you're not you'd see anything. But if one person did the Mila, one person did the Priya, so you can't say, his tzorach kiyama mitzvah is doicha, he didn't do the kiyama mitzvah. But if you hold hutra, means that the cheftza of Mila was not included in Hilcha Shabbos. So according to the Ramah, even two people can do. And Karbonis, that a Deicha Shabbos, that's an often a Gemara in Yuma, that's Hutra. That's Luchot, that's not a Machlekes. That's a Gemara, that's Hutra, that's not Tchui. So that for sure you can divide up among many people. But Mila B'Shabbos, that's a Machlekes, the Mechaber and the Ramah, which represents a Machlekes HaRishayim.